This is Ben Dickens, representing Griggs. Would you like us to make any introductory remarks at this point?
Just hold off on that.
Hello?
Yeah, I got the whole thing.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:33 on January 22nd, 2025. This is an informal hearing of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Jill Kringstad. Do either of you have any opening comments on this case? Okay. So we'll move right into it, but the second thing we'll do is have the participants, both online and in the room, identify themselves for the record. But the first thing before that is I just want to clarify this is an informal hearing, so we don't deal with any disputed information. If anything comes up that is disputed, we'll have to suspend this and schedule a formal hearing.
Commissioner? This is Ben Dickens with representing women. Would it be okay for us to make an opening statement or an informal statement?
In a moment. First, we're going to have everyone here at the table introduce themselves.
Victor Shook with PSC staff.
Tyler Kildy, representing Griggs County Telephone, also known as MLGC.
Now you can introduce yourselves and let us know what you wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. This is Ben Dickens, representing Griggs County. With me is my partner, Sal Talifer. And at the appropriate time, we'll make a very brief opening remark.
Okay, and Sal, how is that spelled? I'm not hearing
sure.
It clear.
S-A-L is the first name. And my last name is Talifer, T as in Tom, A-I-L-L-E-F-E-R.
Okay, Ben, go ahead.
Thank you. Commissioners, we're here today to consider or to discuss the application that we've filed that reflects the fact that Griggs County Telephone has overbuilt the exchanges served by Lumen of Leonard and Kindred, South Dakota. The reason for this is that there has been evidently known to the commission some number of customer complaints about the quality of service, et cetera. And Mr. Kildy's company has overbuilt those exchanges with fiber almost completely. We calculated about 95% of the wireline customers. And Mr. Kildy's company provides a very high quality of service itself. And we think it's in the public interest that we be able to enjoy the status of an incumbent local exchange carrier and an eligible telecommunications carrier in those exchanges, given the long history of high-quality service that Griggs has provided to his customers for over 100 years in its home exchanges. And we think that you have the legal authority to do that. And subject to your desires, Mr. Kildy has brought some information in the form of slides that he'd like to share with you himself, and he has personal knowledge of these matters much more than I do.
Okay. And I don't think this is going to be a disputed thing, but just for the record, I think you said Leonard and Kindred, South Dakota, and I'm presuming you're talking about our favorite Leonard and Kindred communities in North Dakota.
I do apologize. I don't want to be in the wrong jurisdiction today.
Okay, Tyler, go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the time that you guys have taken, and I do respect the time that you have, so I'll quickly run through these slides. This is nothing to do with Lumen. This is all about what we have done, and that's what the focus is. And so with that being said, MLGC, the M and L stands for More and Liberty, and the GC stands for Griggs County, and I'll walk through the history as to why that is. This slide I threw in there because I actually got a huge of the whole United States of the Bell System back in 1909. This is relevant because Griggs was founded in 1906. So we were a part of this little highway that we have here of the phone lines that mostly followed along the railroad lines. And I will share that with you when I get it. I got to make sure there's no copyright on thing in there because it's already. All right. Two cases, and thanks to AI, it put that little telephone ringing there. So I thought that was pretty cool as the slide started. So we are a family-owned company, the board of directors and owners, myself, my wife, Deidre, my brother-in-law, Dion, my mother-in-law, Joyce, and my sister-in-law, Carolyn, are the owners and directors of this establishment. And myself, 35 years of experience in the industry, 13 years in wireless, public safety, and commercial. I built systems in the Red River Valley area, including maybe not the first, but the second mobile data system for Cass and Clay County, multi-jurisdictional, back in the early 90s. I worked for a company called Elders Communications out of Fargo, North Dakota, and they were a Motorola service center. I joined the company in 2002, family-related, and been working there ever since. And a little story about Griggs County Telephone. This is where it all started. Established in November of 1906, started out with 10 shareholders, 7 directors. A guy by the name of Harold Brown, great-grandfather of the family, was one of the first employees in 1907, managed it in 1913. Mr. Brown started acquiring the shares in 1915. In 1922, Griggs County acquired McHenry Telephone Company. When you looked at that map, there were telephone companies everywhere back in those days. Everywhere. And so they acquired the first one there in McHenry. Depression came. Things stopped. Two of the shareholders died from influenza. Not one, but two pandemics we have seen in our lifetime. 1937, Harold and Clara Brown finally got complete ownership. Gordon Brown assumed the presidency in 1953, followed by Ray, which would be my father-in-law, who just recently passed, in 1976. We acquired the Finley Exchange through the U.S. West transaction, which I think believe finally finished up about that 1996 area. Introduced dial-up internet in 1996, followed by DSL in 2001, and fiber overbuild started and commenced in 2010 and ended in 2015. And that is when we were completely fiber to the home. You can see from the time, and everybody did the same thing. We went from dial-up in 1996, went to DSL quickly after that, and quickly adopted fiber. And that's pretty much throughout the state of North Dakota with the cooperatives, our friends that are also here today. More in Liberty Telephone, about the same thing. April of 1906. Harold and Clara Brown began acquiring it in 1934, got it in the 1940s. Grandson, Gordon, was the manager there. Ray followed again in 1976. First fiber connections were installed in 1986. That's when we put the first fiber in the ground. And that was to connect the COs and to link with U.S. West. 1996, Sheldon Exchange was acquired from U.S. West. Dial-up internet, again, 1996, DSL, 2001, the overbuild. And then in 2012, we actually merged Moore and Liberty Telephone and Griggs County Telephone in, pretty much at the request of USDA, because we had some stimulus funding in there, and they preferred that the two entities were together. It just made more sense. It also simplified some things. But that's where you get the Moore and Liberty Griggs County Telephone, MLGC. Now we go on to the beginning of Kindred and Leonard. And this goes back to 2002. So we created an LLC of MLGC. We purchased the cable system in Kindred and Northwood in 2003. This cable system was the old analog system that had 32 channels. But they were channels that you watched instead of the 250 you have now today, which are not really worth a hoot, are they? All right. And then in 2004, we started the fiber and connecting these exchanges together. 2006, we offered high-speed internet through cable. In 2010, we established an interconnection agreement with Quest, which was filed, and became the CLEC. 2011, we did the 250 channels that nobody likes to watch at 100% digital. And in 2019, this is where it's key, we sold Northwood, the focus to Polar, to focus on Cass County deployment. If you guys ever looked at the map and you saw all the good work that all the cooperatives and ourselves were doing, and you saw some of the white spaces in those places, Cass County is one of the biggest problems still to this day. And I think we took care of everything to the south of 94, and I believe Derek is now working on everything north of 94, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. So once we're done with that, pretty much all of the state should be connected by fiber in the rural areas. So how did we go about building out Kindred and Leonard Exchange? Did the Northwood sale? We participated in FCC auction 904, RDOF, which was basically a reverse auction for support, and also applied for a Reconnect 3 loan, which was for $16,880,472. As of today, we only advanced $8,600,000 of it. Total investment as today, Kindred, $7.9 million. Leonard has been $6.7 million for a total of $14.6 million that we have invested currently today in those two exchanges.
Tyler, quick question before you go on. Can you go back a slide?
Absolutely.
With that Reconnect 3, I know you said that, you know, you've only advanced probably about half of it. Do you have plans to use the rest of that funding for anything, or is that not available?
So there's one aspect. I mean, we're done with the fiber deployment.
Mm-hmm.
It is one was probably an upgraded building.
Okay.
And two, not getting into too much of it, there's this connectivity to the field that's being talked about.
Okay.
I'll leave it as that. So that leaves that money available as long as USDA approves it.
Okay.
So.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anything else? Questions? All right. Kind of summarize the plant. This is what we did. And this is the layout of the design. I did not include this in the slide deck because some of the stuff is confidential.
You got to take your mic with Tyler be on the recording.
So, but you guys can look at it at any time. It has all the fiber routes and everything laid out as to what we actually did in connecting all the homes.
You can take this if you need to wander around.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Tyler, will you be able to email to Victor a copy of that map?
Absolutely. As long as
you've referenced it, so it should be part of our record now.
Absolutely. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, to the extent we want to make sure it has trade secret protection, we'll just reach out. We'll make sure we get it filed appropriately so that's trade secret.
All those slides, I will do that same thing. I just will have to keep it confidential because it's not that I'm really too worried. Bad actors in the world. You guys ever remember the whole Fargo thing where the guy cut the phone lines and destroyed all of Fargo? We would always want to avoid that anytime.
Yes, for sure.
So, but in that, just to give you some outline, this was the amount of work that was done. I brought samples because I know during one of the meetings we talked about fiber. There's a 576 count fiber that's sitting right there on that desk. But duct, million feet. Fiber, 804,000 feet. Fiber drop, 441,000 feet. That's what we do when we go to the farms and the residents. That's how much material was used. Transport, getting from one location to another location, 161,000 feet. And there's 402 underground vaults. It's a little bit higher than Leonard, as you will see, because of the town, the size of Kindred. So there's more homes there. Leonard, kind of the same thing. This is all the work that was done. Again, quite extensive work covering the whole exchange. Overview of our network. In cooperation with DCN in an NTIA grant, we upgraded our transport to 400 gig, and through that, we kind of talked about some of these things during that open meeting where we have a fiber network that's 144 fibers. On that, we have DWDM, which means that each color of light, there's 42 of them on one glass. Each one of those can move 800 gigabits of data. And then our Ethernet transport is a Sienna. This is also brand new. Core routers, this is what we use to connect to the internet. Access is Calix using 10 gigabit service or XGS-PON, which means that we can offer services basically up to 10 gigabits to the residents and businesses. And the telephone, and I am very happy to say we upgraded our switch to the Microsoft Meta switch last night. You guys didn't get any phone calls, so it went well. So and
maybe their phones didn't work. They couldn't call us.
There was a little downtime there, but it also included Microsoft Teams integration into that. I can't remember if the service rates were part of the filing, but here we go. These are actually on the website outside of the business internet packages, so I had no problem disclosing those. But you can see $23 residential, $28 for business internet packages, and we also offer a low-income lifeline internet package of $30.
Thank you for that information. Now I can compare to my services.
All right. Excellent. My closing remarks on this, 119 years of evolution. We went through two pandemics, two world wars, one depression, multiple recessions, and we made an investment of $14 million. All that being said, we feel we are in the public's best interest. And a little bit of added history. Back in 1904, residential service went for $2 a month. That's 62 in today's. Business services was $2.50. Now it's 70, and that would, today's market, that would be 77. 1 mile of pole line cost $40. And that would be in today's 1253, but it cost us about $30,000 a mile to put fiber in the ground. Directors were paid $3 a meeting. Managers were paid a whopping $125 a month. And toll charges between Binford and Cooperstown was 15 cents. That information comes from the original corporate book of Griggs County Telephone that you guys are more than welcome to view.
So the spread between managers and directors was too large then already, and 100 years later.
Yep, $3, a whopping $3 back then. And this was one of the old photos that was also in our archives back in 1930. Everybody dressed up and I don't know where that's at. I think it might be in Grand Forks or something. And it's Telephone Association, 1930. And with that, I am concluded. And I'm open to any question you guys may have.
And I know you haven't done a lot of these things, like some of our electric utilities and such. A couple questions, and if they're something trade secret protected,
sure,
just don't answer it because this is recorded. In your testimony, and I believe Ben mentioned it earlier too, about having about 95% roughly of the landline customers in both Kindred and Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the numbers of access lines for that those communities?
Yes, we do have that, and we can share that from a trade secret standpoint.
Do you know it roughly off the top of your head?
I do.
Oh, it is trade secret?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, but I do. And I don't know if it was included in the original filing with the trade secret or not, but I do know what that is. And and yes, we can share that information.
And I think that was my main question. You actually had a pretty good filing here that gave us a lot of information. And do either of you have questions? I'm just double checking. I think that was the only one that I really had. I really don't have any other questions right now.
I've got just a couple, just clarifying things. The application was very complete, so there's not an extensive amount of things I have. One of mine was on the customer counts, and we can double-check what's already been filed and what you will file to make sure we have that. But to be clear on exactly what we're looking to have happen, to make sure that whatever the commission decides to do, we have a clear picture of what you're asking for. So right now you are operating as the competitive local exchange carrier in both of those exchanges.
Yes.
You would like to be the incumbent local exchange carrier.
Yes.
And, but at the same time, you're not looking to kick Lumen out of those towns. Your preference would be for them to become the competitive local exchange carrier. Basically, just kind of switch the first letter of your designations.
Yep.
Which seems very, very appropriate. Mm-hmm. And then additionally, you're seeking designation for a certificate of public means and necessity, appropriately so, and to be... Well, I guess that's kind of part of the designation as the incumbent local exchange carrier, but designated as a eligible telecommunications carrier for FCC designation. Anyway, so if I had all of that correct, that was really one of my questions, just to kind of clarify those points.
Yep.
Okay.
Swap.
Yep.
Okay.
So we wouldn't, with all that in mind, we wouldn't necessarily need to relinquish the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for CenturyLink. We could, but we wouldn't necessarily need to.
Yeah, I don't know how that all flies with
And I'll double-check all of that with our legal, too, because, some of those, it's more so a finer legal question, more so than anything else. But I just wanted to clarify that my understanding was what you were actually trying to do, and it sounds like it is. So thank you.
That's all you got?
That's all I have.
So, the kind of slideshow that you presented us, was there anything in there that was trade secret protected? Nope. Can you forward that?
Yep. I gave it to him, and I'll make sure.
We have it then? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
And so, are there any objections to the information presented today? That would be that slideshow, those maps after anything trade secret protected is removed, as well as the recording being used by us as evidence in making a determination in these two cases.
No objections from me?
No objection from staff.
Okay. So that evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Is there anything else that anyone needs to comment on? And good point, Sherry. Probably should have checked with your legal counsel if there is any objection to that evidence becoming part of the record. Ben, did you have any objection?
Ben, are you there? Sal?
Ben appears to be muted. I'm not sure if that is intentional.
Well, no objection has been presented.
Yeah, we have no objections.
And Tyler has stated that he does not object, so we will move forward with that.
Legal counsel concurs.
Okay, thank you. With that, this informal hearing is closed, and we will work on putting together a decision as soon as possible.
I appreciate it, and I thank you very much for you guys' time.